Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Linda, and you are listening to The Moment Is Now, and up in Oregon, and with my co-host, which is Stephanie, Lady Oracle. And are you there?
I am here.
Well,
I'm
wonderful.
I'm sitting upright with a cup of coffee.
That's what we do this early in the morning. We have to get awake. And but
right.
To get right into the show, I do want to take a couple minutes in the beginning. I did get an email from a very nice woman asking about last week's show, where we were talking about the four stages of emotional awakening, with the highest form of vibration being total respect for somebody's path. And the letter that I had gotten, or the email that I had gotten, asked me questions about how can we have total respect for somebody that's like murdering people, or the disasters that are happening, and all of the negative stuff. She listed several things. And how can you just totally respect that person's path, or if there's genocide, and she went on and on for a long time about the different negative things that are happening on the planet. And I guess I didn't even cover that last week, so I do want to respond to her through the show, and I did send her a personal email back. When you get into situations like that, the four stages, if you remember from last week, was empathy, sympathy, compassion, and the top beyond any judgment is total respect for someone's path. And when it comes down to people doing things like she was talking about, it's not really about respect for them people. When it gets into a negative vibration that they're harming other people, not what they're just choosing for themselves, but if they're causing harm or changing or trying to change or interfere in anybody else's path, then you just send them love. You have to go into a prayer or into a meditation and send the light to them, and then for their highest good, because we still don't know what their path is, and we don't know why they're here and what they're wanting to learn or experience, but you could send the light into the dark places. And that's the point I wanted to make this morning, because I didn't cover it last week, but just
can
send
I jump
your
in there for a second,
light.
Linda?
Yeah.
Linda, can I jump in
yes.
for a second?
Yes,
I wanted to make the point that I think there's a huge difference between respect and legitimizing behavior or accepting behavior. And what you're talking about is something vastly different than that.
Okay.
Just because someone, you know, it's like you respect the essence of a human being and that's their path and you make no judgments about it. It's not somewhere you'd like to walk. And one of the most startling examples I can think about that of that would be Hitler, you know, Hitler,
uh-huh.
6 million people gone. Do we legitimize his behavior? Do we respect his behaviors? No. He chose to do that. I'm not put on this earth or this universe to judge that. All I can do is make my own personal choices, opposed to, you know, in opposition to that or support of it, whatever I'm going to do.
Uh-huh.
But you have to, like you said, rise above it.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Christ consciousness here. That's what makes it so difficult. It's not like, well, Wednesday I've passed compassion, I'm leaping right into respect. And I think too easily people, you know, words have definition and they also have a connotation to them. And I think that a lot of times people will put a human value or what we understand respect to be. And that's not what you're talking about. That's my
right.
opinion.
That's yes, but I think there was something that needed to be mentioned about that. And I guess the respect also, if I didn't clarify myself very much last week, is respecting the path of someone else to move yourself out of judgment. And respecting somebody else's
right.
path is also understanding that they're following their path, but when they interfere in other people's choices and their path, then that isn't what we're here to do.
That's right.
We're here to experience
right.
and to learn and not make people victims for whatever. Like you were saying, there's a difference in definition when it comes to total respect of somebody else's path. It doesn't mean that if they're dragging 6 million people onto their path and doing
annihilating
to them
yeah.
where they don't have a choice, then that's not
that's
the same
right.
meaning.
No,
so I'm glad
not
you,
at all.
You brought that up. But I did want to answer the writer, the lady that wrote me about that.
Good,
no, it isn't. It isn't okay. But this week we decided to talk about altars, manifesting altars, which is always a fun subject for me because I'm always making them all over the house for different things. It's carding what you want to manifest in the world. So to start out, I want to talk about setting up an altar. And an altar, I mean, sometimes people can think that's sort of religious or spooky or something like that because I guess just the word altar, you know, altar and sacrifice, like, go together. And it's not true. The altars that we want to talk about today is your manifesting altars. And they can be very, very small, and you could have them all over the house, which I usually do. And all I use these manifesting altars for is to keep my focus on what I desire. Because it seems like after The Secret was written and all of us are trying to create what we want, there is a, where everybody got stuck was asking and not getting into a vibration of receiving. So we're always asking for the same thing over and over and over, but we never expect or sit back and wait for it to come to us. And I did mention this in a show before. I said, we trust McDonald's better and more than we trust the universe, because we will go to McDonald's and speak in the speaker and say, I want a hamburger and french fries and a soda. And then we go and we give them our money, and then we go to the next window and we get our food. So, but when we ask the universe, you know, to provide me with something, we keep staying at the speaker. Just keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. We never even go and paying for it would just be our energy and our trust and our knowledge that we're going to receive it at the next window. So you go to the next
window.
Right.
Well, we're kind of like rats with the food pellet bar, aren't we, when it comes to
that? Yeah.
You know.
That's right. It's like, so that's what I really wanted to talk about. Let's get past the point of asking. And so if you build a little altar, you know, say, I've been studying the aquaponics, so I cut out the word aquaponics, and I put a little candle, and I put a little picture of a fish, which, you know, you use them in aquaponics, and then a picture or a drawing or anything of a greenhouse, whatever you're wanting. And you just put it, you know, like a crystal or something there, it doesn't matter, and build you a little altar that you can see every day and go, oh, yeah, I'm waiting for that to come. Oh, yeah, I'm waiting for the greenhouse to come. And that changes, that shifts your energy from asking, asking, asking to, oh, yeah, that's what I'm asking, that's what's coming. So when you build an altar, what it does for me is it puts me in that next space where I think everybody got confused. That you have to move your vibration into receiving, and the altar helps do that. It's just like all these other self-help books that says write these notes and stick them all over your house. Well, I just happen to use a focal point, which I think is more powerful than is making just a tiny little altar. And you could do it for anything you want, you know, if you want a partner, if you want money. I have a little money one, you know, that has coins and it, you know, has a little candle, and you could light the candle and just say, okay, this is opening the door for me to receive it. It's coming, you know. When I get what I want, I take that altar down and build something for the next thing that I want. So I do this constantly.
I like that.
And so how do you do your altars?
I have a central altar that is generally anything that I'm working on. With that particular altar has to do with divination and pulling an energy for whether I'm empowering an essential oil or blend or whatever I'm doing that way. I work more with dream boards, which is basically the same thing. It creates the focal point. So with the dream board, it can be a piece of cardboard. It can be anything that you want. But the idea is that you take things that symbolize, like Linda's talking about, symbolize what you want to bring into your reality. Like if you want a beach house, then you cut out pictures in home magazines of this beach house that you like. And you surround yourself with, you know, put on seashells, put on what you would put in there. Like if you envision yourself sitting on the front porch of an older beach house strumming a guitar, put a guitar in there. Put the favorite colored afghan that you have. Anything that triggers your senses. The thing I like to remind people is that your olfactory sense, your sense of smell, is hardwired into your third eye, basically, the front part of your brain. So that's why we use incenses down through history. That's why we use essential oils. Dab something that smells of the sea to you, an oil blend. I'm not saying wrap a crab claw up and stick it on there, but, you know, something.
That
would smell
after a while.
Oh, man, that happened to me with one of my kids once, but that's another story. So put that on there so that it triggers that whole awareness. I always try to create memories of trips through sounds and smells. So I might buy an oil while I'm vacationing or something, or I might buy a piece of music. So work with that dream board. Play the music of a trip to the ocean. Use some oil or the perfume that you wore on the last one that you had this great and you saw this perfect land that you'd like. Make it personal and active. It has to be interactive. And that's what Linda's talking about as well. I think the next stage that's very important for that is it's fine to sit there and look at a dream board or an altar, but you got to remember that the universe has issued a contract with you. So when you're manifesting, the implied contract is, you want this? Okay, I'm opening it up to possibility. What I want to see is a commitment from you of an action toward it.
Absolutely.
I think that's where altars and dream boards are very, very important, is that it's the action of creating that. It's the action of, okay, I really want this house. I'm just going to go look on the internet for houses for sale. I'm going to go look for, you know, exchanges, people that want a motorhome for their piece of land over by the coast or something like that.
Uh-huh.
There's all kinds of ways. The universe will provide those opportunities if you commit to these things, my opinion on that.
Mm-hmm. And it's also looking for all the clues. That's what I find that's the most interesting, is that I'll build the altar, and then I'll say, okay, I'm here to receive it. And then it's just like, it's almost like a mystery, because I don't know how it's going to get here. But there's synchronicity, and there's different, like you said, different things that come up that move you in that direction. And it's always, hindsight's always the most fun, because I say, oh, that got me here, and this got me here. Isn't that interesting how all of these are moving me in that direction, because actually we don't have a clue how the universe plans on getting it to us. But if we try to do it, we're very, very limited to how we have thinking around how we could achieve something like that. So it's always being awake and aware and being clear to get all of the puzzle pieces together and recognize them as they're coming in and take a chance. Say, well, I don't know if this has anything to do with the beach house, but I'm moving in this direction, and we'll see what happens. And if there's another direction to go, Spirit will step in and just say, hey, look over here, you know, and the people that you meet and the opportunities that come up, it's just incredible. But you really have to be vigilant on paying attention to what's going on around you as well, because the clues are there all along.
Oh, Linda, you just said something that was really, really intriguing to me. So basically, this is what I heard and where my mind went all of a sudden as you're talking about this. So you have this idea of a beach house.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe, because of its power and its level of understanding of you and your place within its system, says, well, it isn't per se the beach house this person wants. It's this higher thing that they're looking for. It's this experience. It's this emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's this relaxation. It's whatever. So it's like you said, unraveling the clues. There's 1,001 different paths to get to what the actual refined need is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get
Absolutely.
Taken down those. Yeah, you get taken down those paths. And that becomes part of your job, to figure out what your lesson is and why you're getting this instead of that. And maybe it's getting you in the same place. Does that make any sense?
That's right. That's right. You just really have to be aware. You have to be aware of the people that you're meeting, and it's not just so much aware like you're really trying to figure it out. It's just like being in wonderment. It's just like, oh, this is really an incredible experience, or this is an offer, And this is a person that, you know, I just met, don't know anything about them, but they invited me to dinner, you know, to, you know, whatever. And you just go, and then you find out that, you know, there's somebody that know they do real estate on the beach, you know, and, oh, you know, and we just had this house for sale. And, you know, it's, you just never know how it's going to happen. You just have to be, you have to surrender. That's another thing I learned, too. You have to surrender to spirit. If you really want it, then you can't refine it down to how you expect to get it. You have to say, okay, this is what I put out. Universe, help me. Show me the way. I'll do whatever I need to do on this level, and I'll pay attention, and I'll do it, and this is what I would like, because the universe is here to work with us, not against us.
Well, that gets back to the 10 principles of the power of intention, the first being have a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
When something is presented, it's how do I work with this? This is an opportunity.
That's right. And you know, and I found out that it can make you sort of crazy if you're thinking every little turn and every little person and every little clue is moving you in that direction. You could think that, but you would be surprised that, you know, if the universe is involved, it's got you doing 10 things at once. Or whatever you're doing is going to reflect or going to influence all of these other things you want, too. It just doesn't do the beeline thing usually. It will just open up several doorways, and you're moving forward with many of the things that you've requested. And I've noticed that
mm-hmm.
with if you have four or five little altars around the house for different things that you want, which is just a focal point. That's all an altar is. It just helps
That's
remind
right.
me what's coming, you know, and it's not what
mm-hmm.
I want. You have to move out of that vibration. Once you set that altar up, it has to be, it's coming. You know, this is the doorway. It's coming. I don't know how it's going to get here, but this is, it's coming. And then when you start taking down the altars, and you can start out with small things just to get you in the mood, you know, small things. And when it comes, and you take it down and you put something else up, you know, and that helps people too, you know, if you do something small in the beginning.
Yeah. Sorry for interrupting there.
No, that's all right.
I think that one of the important functions of the altar is it's holding a place. It's holding and creating that space.
Your
life
as
a bunch
of doorway.
Right.
But the same thing, yeah.
Right. It is a doorway, but what it actually does is until the thing, the object, the outcome arrives, it's kind of like this bead of light or energy that's forcing, you know, a 1 foot by 2 foot section in your world, so
mm-hmm.
that here it comes. It has a place to be. It's a mental or an energetic way of you saying, okay, this is what I want. So I'm shoving other things out of the way. I'm clearing spaces. I'm giving away things so that I could be ready to move if I needed to. Whatever it is that you're trying to generate.
Right.
And here's this reminder, and so naturally as the space creates, things start to come through towards that space. I mean, it's just, when you think about it, it's rather a scientific principle more than anything.
Yeah,
you know,
it
is. Life abhors a vacuum. So if you create a space, something's going to come in to fill it. And if you are focused on your intention, it's going to be what you want. If you're lackadaisical about it, and you're not conscious, yeah, anything can come in. You know, it's like, no,
that's
guess
true.
What? You're going to move to the desert.
And that's the thing about just having the focal point, you know, like you said, that if you're not, you don't have to, like, write down every little thing, but you do have to be explicit to where you're wanting that intention to go. It's just about focus. Your thoughts is what's creating it. Your thoughts.
Right.
Contract with the universe, you know, that's what's creating it, actually. But I like to use altars as a focal point, because every time I walk by it, I go,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that should be here pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know,
and
Linda
so,
and I'm sure everybody, you know, our listeners can figure out, Linda and I spend a lot of time figuring these things out, because we are intensely creative people and very passionate about life and experiences. And one of the things one day Linda said to me was, she goes, I don't think I play enough, and I think that that's a problem. And
mm-hmm.
you were right.
Mm-hmm.
You were right.
That's what I'm learning.
Let your imagination play. Yeah, you got to play.
I take life too seriously, and is that fun? You know, I was just talking about this with a friend, you know. I was on a spiritual path for 20 years, and when all that boils down, what you really learn is that you came here to create and have fun and joy and happiness, and that's the track that I am on now.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to be fun. And like I said last year, if you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. I like to tell people that. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong, because it's meant to be fun.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, I ask the listeners to reevaluate the experience that they're having in, you know, in their life. If you're not really having fun and you can't find happiness and joy in what you're doing, then you need to find what's going to bring you that happiness and joy, and then you need to switch. Because this is a big playground, and we're supposed to be having fun. Now, you don't go to a playground and just sit there and hate life. You go there to create and have fun and see what everybody else is doing and how they're playing and what brings them joy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my path, finding all of that fun. Now it's time to have fun. It's like, okay, I put in my time in the serious realm, and I put in my time, you know, with the family and raising kids, and now it's just like, okay, let's start dancing in the rain. I always see that celebration card in my mind
the
with those three girls dancing in the rain. And I
yeah,
said, okay,
that's the
stage
then.
Of life I'm at now.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
And it's
Bring it on.
You know, dancing in the rain is an important thing. You know, when I'm doing a lot of manifesting work, I have a tarot spread I use, and I've talked about, you know, the first three cards in the suit of wands. Wands is the element of fire, and it's creative action at work, and it's the ace, the two, and the three, and I call it lights, camera, action. The ace is where you get the spark of the idea. It's the aha moment. And the second is the two of wands talks about personal power. And the message in that card is, yeah, I'm sitting here and I have literally the world in my hands, because the image is holding a globe and he's standing by two torches and he's looking from the wall of a high castle and he sees the entire world. It's possibility. And it's, I can create and I can have this. It's stepping into your personal power.
Mm-hmm.
And so the third card is the Three of Wands, and that talks about new horizons, new ventures, new things to create that are coming in, because it ships on a horizon. Somebody's standing on the bluff going, it's here. It's right in front of me. All I have to do is reach out. That's why I call it lights, camera, action.
And as
I was talking about before, once you get that dream board, once you get that altar, it's up to you to take the action. It's up to you to go to the computer and start surfing and looking for lots for sale or for whatever it is, or putting out a resume. All of that is your responsibility. It's part of your contract with the universe. I'll give you the potential. I'll give you the opportunities, but you must take action. So when I'm doing the spread, right, I put the ace, the two, and the three, you know, right across. And then if I want to know where I'm blocked, then I put cards across. And one of two things will happen. I will see where I'm being supported, because you can have oppositional pairs and you can have supportive pairs of cards. And so if, you know, I'm seeing something come up where the Eight of Swords, that's the card of restriction, or it's self-restriction. Crossing one of those cards, I know that I'm running a number on myself. And I have to figure out where's my mental attitude. So it's a very handy spread, and then I can lay cards below it to see, all right, what's the next level here? What's going on? So anybody that uses tarot cards, any of our listeners out there, try it, and I think you'll be really pleased with the results.
The cards guide me as well. I ask them questions and see what the answers are, and then it's sort of, okay, I'm going in the right direction. But one of the big key things that I want to emphasize is you have to surrender. You have to know that the universe has every means it needs to help you create whatever you want. But you got to let go of the wanting and trying to create it yourself for the universe to say, okay, you know, to move right in and try to help you, you know, or lead you in the right direction to get what you want. And
don't,
I think that's the hardest
thing. Don't try to tell the universe its business, huh?
That's right. I call that don't micromanage the universe. So I do have a little word for that when I catch myself doing that. Yeah, because when you do, you're pushing the universe out of the way, saying, I know how to do it better than you, and that's like our worst mistake. You just can't do that.
Yes,
so do you have any updates or anything about the astrology or the cards or what's going on this next couple weeks?
Oh, let's see what we're doing this couple of weeks. Well, you know, we've got a full moon coming up here, and that's a full moon in Leo. And Leo is direct. The moon will be in 14 degrees and 48 minutes of Leo. And this is going to be a very charismatic, charming moon. I think I talked about that last week. But it's also a great one for leadership, for taking control of your life, for owning it. And I think that that's the thing. Think about the traits of a Leo personality. They're highly charismatic people. They're the people usually that are dominating a group. Use that type of the energy for yourself. Now, there's other things going on around it, but, you know, Venus has just entered Pisces, which is more of a dreamy, romantic energy. I don't look for that so much to have a huge impact on the lunar energy. I think that use this moon for manifesting. I think that it would be excellent if you're in a people-oriented business like sales or persuasion type ones, say attorneys, political people. You can use this to pull that power. Anything that you're in negotiations with people, this is a good time to fine-tune those negotiations and use that energy. You don't want to start anything new because, remember, Mercury's still in retrograde until February 11th. So, you know, try not to start anything new. Just work with what you got and fine-tune it and work on what your goals are for the full moon.
Oh, yeah. And the full moon's when? Is that in a couple of days?
Yeah, well, February 3rd. So,
it's the 30th.
And on our West Coast, that comes at 6:09 p.m.
Because I remember seeing the moon the other night because it was clear and it was just so bright. And I was thinking, it's not even full, and it's so bright.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's an effigy or where it is. You know, it does that effigy thing, you know, where how close it rotates because it's an elliptical orbit. So there are times when it's extremely close. That's when we call it a supermoon. That's when it's the closest it will be. Yeah. So
I remember that. That's neat, though.
Yeah.
That it does that. And how fascinating we are with the moon all the time. What is up with that? I mean, we're like starry-eyed, staring at the moon and love. I mean, it has all of this energy around it that people just love to look at the moon. You know,
I think part of it is because our bodies are comprised so much of water, and we know the effects that the moon has on water, you know, with the tides. And when you think about primitive man, he had this fiery ball in the day that he couldn't really look at, but it gave life and warmth. And then at night when the moon was full, here's this cool, was, you know, you wonder, did they think it was the sun turned down? I love the old stories about tribes and eclipses, because they used to think a dragon would come and be eating it, and so they would fire arrows or lances up at the moon to drive away the dragon that was engulfing the moon. So, I love those stories.
Yeah, they're neat. I mean, it's just to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it is. So I think for right now, we want to encourage our listeners to take some direction in your life. We always want you to take direction. But move forward with what you want to see more of in your life. Focus on the more, not the lack of. And get your altars put together, the things that symbolize, the things that mean something and touch your heart, and something that imbues your senses. I think we both feel very strongly about that. You've got to have that personal connection with them.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And altars are so fun to build. I just have so much fun. And you don't even have to build it all at once. It's like, you know, I'll go through the house and get a thought, and I go, oh, yeah, that should be on that altar. And then I'll move it over there, and I'll go, okay, now it's feeling. Because it will start feeling complete, or that all the energy set in the right direction, and then that's when you just let go and said, okay, universe, this is the doorway I'm creating, and now I'm just waiting for it to show up. I'll try to pay close attention. all of the stuff that you're sending my way. And I also always ask that I am aware and awake enough to see the signs, you know, to see all the messages that they're sending me.
Right. Yeah, well, you have such beautiful, beautiful altars. You make some of the most fun altars I've ever seen. And they do. They have a life of their own. Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. It's like
and
you walk
so
into a room.
And it's so fun when you take them down because there's like a completion. It feels like, okay, you know, now what else do I want, you know? And then you start putting another one. Or you think about it a couple days. But start out small, you know, and then you'll see as it manifests, it will empower you. You will see that it's happening. It doesn't have to be something big right away. Just do something small, and then there's your proof, you know. In a couple of days, maybe that will show up, and you go, oh, okay, that's how it works. Until you get into the rhythm of receiving. That's our biggest hang-up is we're still at the speaker at McDonald's. We're not even drove up to the window to pick up our stuff. And that just cracks me up that we trust McDonald's but more than the universe.
Yeah.
So don't stay at the speaker. Go up there and get your bag of stuff. We will talk to everybody next week. And thank you for listening. And we will be back Friday at 8:30 a.m. So have a wonderful week, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.